Take your Bible tonight, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter number 11 tonight. Mark chapter number 11, if you would. And I want to look at the first 10 verses of this chapter tonight. Mark chapter number 11, and beginning at verse number 1. And I need to turn this on. All right. And help me out tonight, brother. My voice is about shot. So help me out. Thank you. Boy, that helped me right there, didn't it? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11. I want to tell the young people thank you for coming. From, I believe, North Augusta in that area. I believe it's right. Appreciate you, preacher, coming. Thank you for being here tonight. And all I heard all afternoon is how good your wife can sing. So all I heard from your mama is how good your wife can sing. And she's right. She sings good. And she's prejudiced, but she sings good. Amen. Did great tonight. And I enjoyed that youth choir, didn't you? Wasn't that a blessing tonight? Thank them for coming. Appreciate a lot of things they could be doing on Friday night. But I'm glad they came to God's house. Thank God for that tonight. I do want you to pray for a young man at our church. I don't know if the preacher mentioned it. I was back and forth over here at the camper just a few minutes. But we have a young man in our church, 11 years old, diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. And God had touched him. We really believe that. He was cancer-free for the last 2 years. I just got word from associate pastor, called me a while ago. He just came out of surgery several hours ago. The cancer is back again, this time more aggressive than it was before. And they don't believe they're going to be able to do radiation because his body can't handle it. And he's going to have to go through chemo. And it's going to be one of some of the most extensive chemo that can be given to a young man his age. And so his family tonight is somewhat distraught. And I would appreciate tonight if you would remember them. And then also our youth group. We have a very tight-knit youth group. My daughter's one of them. She's here tonight. And so the tears have been rolling down her cheeks as well as we think about what he's got to go through. And so if you would, you remember that young man tonight. His name is Timmy. And if you would, be much in prayer for him. He's 13 years old. And I just pray that God would touch him and God would get the glory out of whatever he decides in his life. And we'd appreciate that tonight. Let's stand together. Mark chapter number 11 tonight. And verse number 1. Man, I'm telling you, I have wrestled a lot about the message for this evening. And I really came close to preaching a message that I preached over at Brother Jackie's. And I really thought the Lord was going to give me liberty to do so. But I preached a message over there and I dealt with Job in his life. And I preached a message over there at his church on He Knoweth the Way That I Take. And some of you may remember that. But I really don't feel like tonight that I've got liberty to preach that. And so I'm going to go a little different direction. And the direction that I'm going to go tonight may even lean a little bit outside of the box again of what I've been preaching this week. But yet I believe that if we just mind God and preach what God wants me to, then I believe we'll be fine. You agree with that? Say amen. Amen. And again, I want to thank the youth choir tonight. I preach to young people across the country. It's a real, real blessing to see a group of young people not only sing. Now, a lot of folk can sing. That's one thing. And they got up here and done a good job with that. But what I really liked tonight is they were excited about what they were singing about. Amen. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for people who's got talent and can sing, but they're not excited about what they're singing about. Friend, I don't know about you, but what God did in my soul excited me. And when God saved me, that excited me. And just to be honest, I hadn't got over it yet. Amen. I'm still excited tonight about what God did for me. And so I appreciate tonight their excitement. They're singing, and then as always, to hear ladies sing like the preacher's granddaughter, preacher's wife, and just that good touch of God on their life. That's what matters, friend. We've got to have it. And that's kind of what God gave me tonight for this hour. And I want to leave you with something tonight, and God's putting me back in that burden mode. If you ever hear me preach messages like another generation, when I'm preaching, and I think I preached that here years ago, and Brother Tommy, he still remembered it, told me today, God burdened me about young people across America. And we've lost generation after generation. And then today, what really burdens me is the lack of a touch of God in the average Christian. And how that we are serving God without a touch. And how that without a touch, we're just a sounding brass. Help me now. Our tinkling cymbal. Without a touch of God, we have no power to get anything done. But all that God, one more time, would open up the windows of glory.
and one more time would put a touch and a presence of God in our lives where people would notice that touch. I want to preach tonight on how to get God on you. All right? Chapter number 11 of the book of Mark. And when they were come nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord have need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Remember the message, how to get God on you. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that were before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Friend, let me add this right here. If you ever get God on you in your life, it will not be about you. It will be about him. That's why I have a problem with a modern day charismatic movement and all of that type stuff. It's all about them. It's all about their flesh. It's all about what they do. But it's nothing about him. Friend, if you ever get God on you, you won't want to bring glory to yourself. You won't want to bring glory to your church. But honey, you'll want to bring glory to the Lamb of God that saved you. Friend, I say hip hip hooray for Jesus. We ought to make much of him tonight. Amen. Father, I pray tonight you'll bless the word of God. Lord, speak to our heart. Lord, we need a visit from heaven tonight. Sweet Holy Ghost, have your way in this service. God, I pray that you would speak to us in a special way. And Lord, I pray that we take everything this week that we've received from you. And Lord, as that little lad went home, all in baskets still full. God, I pray we take home what we've received this week and say how good it's been to have been in the house of God. Thank you for what you've done for those you've saved. Thank you for the church and this being revived. Lord, I pray the best is yet to come. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, you be seated tonight. I want to take you back, if I could, just a few years ago. A few years ago in my ministry, I left the church I'd been at for 15 years. And God allowed me to travel a few years on the road full time in evangelism, somewhat of what I do now, but yet also today as a pastor as well, and traveling and doing the youth conferences we do. And God allowed me to begin to do that just several years ago. And several years ago in my life, I began to work with a group of young people that were probably some of the sweetest kids I'd ever had the opportunity to deal with. There was about 40 of them in a youth group, and I took them to a meeting up in the Pigeon Forge area. It was having a youth conference. And I took them up to that meeting, and we went in that meeting, and I did not realize, I was just helping that church at that time, and I did not realize that most of those young people were lost. Most of them were not saved. They were churching, they'd been in church, but they'd never been saved by the grace of God. And we went up to that meeting. We went up to that meeting. There were 40 of those young people. After 3 days of that meeting, 30 of those teenagers had gotten saved by the grace of God. And I mean, buddy, they'd got gloriously saved. God had changed their life. And boy, we had a glorious time. On our way back down the interstate, we were in a bus that was renting. We were traveling down the interstate. And we stopped on the side of the road at a restaurant. There was a Bojangles restaurant and there was a Wendy's or something in the same complex. And we stopped there so the young people could eat. And when we got there, my wife and I went into the back and we sat down at a back table there. And when we sat down in the back table there, we was enjoying the meal. Several of our young people were there. Some other young people were out in another area at Wendy's eating food as well. While we were there, sitting in the back, there was a young lady by the name of Amanda. Amanda was one of the most popular kids in her public school. At that time, she was 16 years old, had beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, very popular in her school. A lot of young people thought a lot of her, and she was very popular in her church. During that meeting, Amanda got saved by the grace of God. And I mean, when she got it, buddy, she got it. It wasn't a matter of she got an emotional stir that wore off, but she got saved, marvelously saved, miraculously saved by the grace of God. We were sitting in that Bojangles restaurant, and while we were sitting there in that restaurant, Amanda come walking in the door. And when she walked in the door, there was another young lady with her. And when she walked in the door, tears were dripping off her face. And she was weeping. I mean, literally, uncontrollably, Amanda was crying. And she come walking in. My first thought was, there must be something going on. Somebody's hurt her feelings. Something's happened. So I said, Amanda, I said, what in the world's wrong? You got to understand. She hadn't been saved but just a few days. She hadn't been a child of God but just a few days. And I said, Amanda, what's wrong? And she said, preacher, you're not going to believe what just happened. I said, what are you talking about? She said, we were walking across the parking lot. You got to understand, this is a place where trucks are, tractor trailers and cars are, and two restaurants. You've seen those travel areas. And she said, preacher, while we were walking across the parking lot, she said, a lady and her daughter approached us and walked up to me and said to me, young lady, can I ask you a question? And she said, yes, ma'am. She said, listen, my life is a mess. My family is a mess. And she said, I saw you walking across the parking lot and I could tell as a young girl that you've been with God. And she said, young lady, would you mind getting down right now with me and praying with my family? My family's in a mess and we need some help. And that 16-year-old girl, Amanda, that hadn't been saved but just a few days, got down in that parking lot on her knee and prayed with that lady right there, and God came down in the middle of a parking lot. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? That little girl had enough God on her that a stranger that had never met her, that a stranger that had never seen her, realized she had God on her and wanted to get a little bit of what she had. Amen. My prayer in my life is this: God, let me get enough God on me that no matter where I'm at, walking through Walmart or going through the hospital or walking inside the house of God, I want to be filled with the anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God, where people can experience God around my life. You say, preacher, did she make it? I introduced her several years ago to a young preacher boy that also got saved in one of our meetings. They end up getting married. I did their wedding. And now they got youngins. And he's called to preach. And she's still serving God and still living for God. You say, preacher, what happened? Friend, if you ever get God on you, if you ever get God on you, I'm telling you, you make a difference in the lives of a whole lot of people. Amen. Now listen to me just a moment tonight. And I love to shout and holler, but I don't know tonight if I'll do much of that in the start. We might get there in the end. But we're living in perilous days. If we've ever lived in 2 Timothy 3, we're living there now. Do you understand? Friend, the California court endorsing sodomy on our land. And then you look at the abortions and you look at us. Listen, America is getting ready to welcome Islam into Washington, D.C. You understand that? I believe with all my heart that we're trying to shove the God of America out the door and we're trying to bring in a God of another world. And friend, Can I tell you what tonight? It wasn't Islam that founded America. It wasn't Islam that caused Christopher Columbus to sail and look for this place. But friend, it was those under a holy inspiration of God, led looking for freedom away from the Church of England, where they could worship a true and a holy God. But we're living in a day-to-day, my friend, that's changed. We're living in a day-to-day where our pulpits have watered down the gospel. Thank God for preachers that still preach, a man must be born again. Thank God sin is still wrong. Thank God heaven is still sweet. And I'm glad hell is still hot. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Preacher, are you a hellfire and brimstone preacher?" Absolutely, 100%. Somebody said you ought to preach a positive message. All right, I'm positive I'm not going to hell. I'm positive the blood saves. I'm positive God's still on the throne. I'm positive, hallelujah, there's coming a day when you and I leave this world and we'll walk on streets of glory. I'm positive of that tonight. Amen. But now here's the key tonight. How do you and I get God on us? How do you and I get God on us? Now listen to me tonight. I want to leave you with this. This is my burden across this country. Too many churches I go into don't have God on them. Understand? Too many Christians I come in contact with don't have God on them. Other night, I was at a racetrack on my sport bike. I was camping that night and running the racetrack the next day on the sport bike. I was camping that night. Some boys come over to my camper that I know from up in Tennessee, ride bikes with, don't fellowship a lot with because they're just not my deal, but I ride with them. And they come over to my camper, and they came over. I had a TV running on the outside of the camper with speakers, and I was watching a sport bike taped race and just watching that. And one of them had been drinking very heavily. His mouth was running off, and he acting like an idiot, you know. And so finally, I just said, you know, I ain't going to handle no more of this. And I told him, I said, "Guys, I'm glad you come over and all that stuff. I'm just going to go to bed. I'm not going to deal with this anymore." And I think the guy was so bad, he didn't even realize what he was doing. And so I went on to bed, and they went back to their deal. I got up the next morning. I put my leathers on, got the sport bike ready to go out on the racetrack. And that fella come walking over to me. And he come walking over to me, and he didn't call me Chris. He come over and said, "Preacher." He said, "Listen," he said, "I need to tell you I'm sorry." I said, "Sorry?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I came around you last night, and I said, just to be honest with you, I wanted you to pray for me." He said, "But I got around you, and I've been drinking, doing all that." And he said, "I acted like that." He said, "Would you forgive me?" He said, "Man, if anybody I need to pray for me, I need you to pray for me." I said, "Man, don't worry about it." I said, "There was a day I acted like that too. There was a day I'd have done that too." I said, "But buddy, when Jesus passed by and got a hold of my life, he changed me by the power of the Holy Ghost, and I ain't never been the same since that day." Friend, we got to have enough God on us. Had a young man call me from the Outer Banks of North Carolina that I'd met in the mountains riding a motorcycle again. Some people say, "Well, I don't know about that preacher riding a motorcycle. You ain't voting me in, don't worry about it." All right? Hey, listen. And he called me. And he sent me an email, actually, and he said, "Preacher, sometime when you get a chance, I want to talk to you about this Jesus thing." I said, "Man, I'll do anytime you want to." He said, "Will you come up and ride with me?" I told my wife, I said, "Well, honey, I hate it, but I guess I'm going to have to go ride a motorcycle in the mountains. That old boy needs God, so I reckon I'm going to have to go." She looked at me and said, "Yeah, right." But anyway, I went up, had a chance to make a long story short, witness to that young man. And you know what that young man said? He said, "Brother Chris," he said, "when I was around you, I realized there was something in my life that you have and I don't have." And he said, "Preacher, I want to know what that is." I opened up my Bible in my pickup truck while tears dripped off of his face, and I told him about the lovely Lamb of God. I told him how to get saved. I'm not saying I'm anything. I'm talking about every one of us ought to be that way. If we're saved by the grace of God, we ought to have enough God in our lives and enough God on us that we make a difference in somebody else's life. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why is it so important?" Now stay with me. I'll be in the Bible in a second. Stay with me. See, why is it so important that we get God on us? Well, because of the condition of our society. The pull of our society. All the pressure of our society But we got to have God on us. If we don't, the devil will try to pull us. You understand that? Because of the coldness of sinners. Now listen to me, friend. There's ever been a day, Brother Jimmy, there's ever been a day where men's hearts are hard. There's ever been a day where a man out in sin is deep out in sin. It's the day that you and I are living. And we had better understand that we're not going to win them with a little poem, and we're not going to win them with a little choir song, and we're not going to win them with a 3-point outline and a nice little fancy invitation. But somebody better get a hold of God, and somebody better get God on them. Friend, we don't need people walking down our aisles chewing bubble gum and blowing bubbles and getting back up and walking out the same way they came. I want it to get back where a man comes in lost, he'll fall under old time conviction, and tears will get to running off that face, and he'll feel like he's about to drop off into hell, and he'll run to Calvary as fast as he can and get saved by the grace of God. And by the way, I got it that way. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, buddy. One day I saw myself a sinner. Knew I was on the way to hell. Didn't have any hope whatsoever. And the sweet Holy Ghost passed by where I was. Thank God, convicted me of my sin. And I ran to Calvary. And it changed my life.
We need God on us because of the coldness of sinners. And then let me say this tonight. We need God on us because of the coming of the Savior. But I believe there's ever been a day we need God on us, preacher. It's right now. If there's ever been a day, Brother David, we better get God on us. It's right now. Honey, I believe this thing ain't far from being over. I really do. I'm telling you, preacher, I love what you said the other night. Said you believe you'll be living when the rapture comes. Hallelujah, be all right with me right now. And me and you just leave right now. Amen. Hey, I like it, don't you? Thank God, I'm glad one day I'm going to take a plane air ride. Amen. I'm looking forward to going up, but either by the clouds or by the clouds. Hallelujah, I'm going to walk them streets. I'm going to enjoy that place. Why? Because of being saved by the grace of God. I want you to stay with me just a moment tonight. I want to show you tonight from the Word of God, using this colt, on how to get God on you. Now go back in chapter number 11 just a moment. If you're going to get God on you, there's three things that's got to happen. And I want to show you this tonight. First of all, you got to be in the right place. You see, that colt, Jesus said there'll be a colt there tied, and he'll be at the right place. Amen. That means Jesus was going to look for that colt, and he was going to find that colt in the right place. Amen. You know something I don't understand? I don't understand why some people, I have people come up to me sometime. They'll come to our Jubilee, or they'll come to a meeting like this, and they'll come and they'll say, "Preacher, I wish you'd pray for our church. It's been dead for 20 years. We ain't seen nobody get saved." And they're raising their kids in that mess, and they're raising their family and that stuff. And I've asked some of them, I said, "Why in the world would you ever stay in something dead like that, that has no God?" You know what they tell me? They say, "Well, preacher, mama went here, and daddy went here, and grandpa went here, and because of that, you know, we just I've stayed right here." Said, "Grandma's buried back here in the back. Daddy's buried over there." I told a fellow one time, I said, "I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go find me a backhoe. I'd drive it out in the backyard. I'd dig grandma up. I'd dig grandpa up. I'd go bury him somewhere else, for I'd stay in a dead church and stay dried up." I don't know about you, honey, but I like being around where God's at. I like being around where the power of God's at. Hey, we need that tonight. Amen. He was in the right place. Now listen to me tonight. If you go to a church, got God in it, folks enjoy being saved, shout her out, you better thank God where you're at. I'll tell you what, right here on side of the road in Packlet, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you honestly tonight, I like being around this place. I really do. I like being around your preacher.
I like being around some of these men. You say, why, preacher? I like being around a place where God's at. And honey, you ain't never going to get a touch of God on you unless you get around a place and you're in the right place where God is at. I say, find you a spout where the glory comes out and get around the right things and let God use your life. He was in the right place. Amen. Oh yeah, it makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Huh? By the way, he was in the right place. He wasn't whining. He was just waiting. Yeah, if God ever gets you in the right place, he can get on you. Huh? You just got to get around the right place. And get around a place where God's at. Look back at chapter 11 just a moment. The Bible says that he's going to find that colt in chapter 11. But the Bible also says, and they went their way and found the colt, what's the next word? Tied by the door. Not only was he in the right place, but don't get quiet on me here, he had the right perimeters. There's a lot of Baptists get quiet on me right here. See, a lot of people got the idea that you can run loose and have God on you. Now just listen to me. A lot of folk got the idea, well, preacher, I don't believe in all that living right and doing this and doing that. And I think as long as you love Jesus and do the best you can, everything will be all right. Friend, I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't pour. Hey, God's not looking for no dirty vessel. God's looking for somebody clean and somebody to live right. It's got the right perimeters. Hey, watch this. You imagine that, colts over there tied, all them other colts are running by. Going, man, we out here having a good time, you over there tied up. Huh? Boy, we out here enjoying our life, and you over there tied up. Man, we're out, listen, you don't think they do it? They do it. They look at some of y'all leave on Sunday, and some of y'all leave on Sunday night, and you know what they say? Boy, look at them. They got to go back to church tonight. They could be over at the park, or they could be at the race, or they could be at the ball game, but instead of that, they're going over there at the house of God. I had a fella tell me one time, said, preacher, don't you ever take vacation, just take a Sunday off. I said, friend, I don't want to take no Sunday off. I said, I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I want to. Amen. I'd rather be in the house of God than anywhere else I know. But now watch. He had the right perimeters. Huh? If my teenagers were here tonight like yours, preacher, they would tell you, I love young people. I love my young people. But we have perimeters. You're going to go to our youth meetings, you're going to dress right. You're going to go to our youth meetings, you ain't going to be having no music in your ears of another world. You understand? If you're going to go in our youth meetings, you're going to live right and do right. And that's the way I think it ought to be. And I'm not talking about being a robot. I'm not talking about being a legalist. God help us in that. But I'm talking about having some perimeters in your life. You ever going to get God on you? You got to have some perimeters. Huh? I won't get into it. The preacher's told me a little bit about your testimony, buddy, and it's been encouragement to me this week. The way God's brought you along and helped you your walk with God. Boy, God shows you them perimeters, don't he? He'll show you. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to live by what man tells me. I'm glad there's a Holy Ghost inside of me that directs my life and helps me to live my life. We got to have the right perimeters. I had a mother one time come up to me in a youth conference. EJ, you'll like this now. You'll like this. Come up to me in a youth conference and she tore up, man. I'm talking about boy crying. She come up and said, Pastor Hazel, I need some help. This was in a meeting somewhere. I don't remember where it was at. I said, ma'am, what's wrong? She said, preacher, I don't know what to do with my daughter. I said, what's wrong? She said, she won't let me in her room. And I said, how old is your daughter? And she was somewhere around 14, 15. And she said, she locks the door and she won't let us in. Then she said this, she said, do you know anything I could do? When she asked me that, so help me, I never met her in my life. This is what I said. I said, ma'am, I want you to take about 8 or 9 steps back from that door. And I said, I want you to get yourself a running start. And I want you to knock the sucker off the hinges and knock it out in the floor. And tell her, as long as you're paying the payment, as long as you've got the house payment and the light payment, hey, you'll run anything you want to run. And it's all your house. And then I said, that ain't the end of it either. I said, then you make her work chores so she pays for the door you just knocked down. Amen. Hey, can I tell you this, buddy? I'm so glad, thank God, I grew up. My daddy didn't know much about standing in the corner. He didn't know much about taking my cell phone. But one thing he knew to take that belt off and let me know who was in charge and kept the perimeters in my life. Nah, I try not to meddle. But see, in our day, we're scared to death to be straight and right. Because we're afraid somebody's going to tag us as a legalist. Then we got people on the other extreme. And Lord God, you can't even breathe out of one side of your mouth without going to hell with that crowd. I do believe there's a balance. But I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to get God on us, we got to have the right perimeters. Friend, you cannot run in the world all during the week and walk in on Sunday and have a touch. You cannot win them people you work with to God when you know different than they are. Huh? You got to have the right perimeters. All them other colts and horses running by, and, you know, hey, look at him. What an idiot. He's over there tied. Maybe that old colt would have looked at him and said something like this. I'm just a-waiting. Because I feel like one day, I don't know what it might be, but I'm going to be used. I don't know how I'm going to be used. I don't know where I'm going to be used. But one day somebody's going to ride me, and I'm going to be used. And while everybody else is out there running, he's in the right place. While everybody else is out there running, he's in the right perimeters. Then one day, Brother David, they come over there and start to loose that coat, and I paraphrase, and they ask him what they're doing. They said, the master have need of him. Can you see that old colt? I don't know if a colt can smile or not, but, you know, mister, can you see him now? Can you see him now? They leading him on off, and all them others going, where are they taking him? They said, oh, they said somebody over there has got need of him. And I guess he thinks he's going to be used now, do something, whatever. They take that old colt. Now watch this. He was in the right place. He had the right perimeters. But he's getting ready to be in the right position. You love me, Brother Joe? Good, because I'm getting ready to use you. I need one of them shouting young boys that's in that youth choir a while ago. There he is, right there. Come here, man. What's your name right there, bud? Corey, come here, Corey. I want you to help me just a minute. Huh? I want you to watch this just a second. Amen. Get Corey, grab that little yellow seat right there and sit down beside this ugly preacher right here. The second one, not the first one. The second one. That right there is a handsome fella. I'm talking about this one right here. Says, so just get right there. And they said, preacher, you can have a seat back. You all right. Why don't you stare at that for me just a minute? Stay with me now. I know where I'm going. Stay with me. Go back to your Bible in chapter 11. Corey, you ain't got no Bible up here, so you all right. You just stay right there. Do you have one back yonder? Okay, good. Chapter number 11. The Bible says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And then watch this. And he sat upon him. Or other words, the colt got God on him. That might be a dumb punch, country boy, but that's pretty good stuff right there. I'm telling you, the coat got God on it. But I want you to watch. Come here, Mr. Preacher. You in pretty good shape? Get on all fours. You have just become a colt. All right? Now stay with me, man. Corey, you're a big guy. I didn't realize you was that big until you got up here. This old preacher here is about wore out, so be good on him now, all right? Corey, I want you to come with me right now. I want you to just put a leg on either side like you're going to ride the colt, all right? You can grab him by right here if you want to. Just come on, get you right. Now, just try to be easy on him, man, because he's old, all right? Now, get over here a minute. Back up a minute. You ain't doing nothing right. Get over here. Get right here. I got to have more room. Now get down there, buddy. Now get right here. Get right. Now, Corey, for the first time in your life, you're going to be Jesus, all right? Sit down a little bit. Amen. That's good. You all right there? You going to make it, Colt? Hallelujah. All right. Now, I need some of them little girls that sung in the youth choir. All y'all little girls sung in the youth choir. All of you come up here right now. Come on. I ain't got all night. I got a long way to go. Come on. All right? Come on up here. Amen. Corey, I didn't know you were so tall, man. Amen. I need a shorter Jesus, really, but it'll work. All right? Now, girls, I want y'all to stand around just right here. All right? Just right. Now, Corey, you raise your head up some. And y'all girls, y'all stand right here. So all the way around them. All right? All the way around them. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you girls right now. I want you to stand. I need somebody right there in front of that little fellow's at. Right there. Thank you. Now, girls, look at me now. Boy, it's embarrassing. You just come here, never been here. Everybody's looking at you. You really don't know what to do right now. You want to go smoke. I mean, it's terrible. Just stay with me, all right? Now, watch. Right now, girls, here's what I want you to do. I want every one of you to raise your arms up if you're sure. Amen. Raise your arms up. Raise your arms. I want every one of them to say, hallelujah. That's pathetic. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Keep on saying it over and over. Hallelujah. Keep on. I want you to notice something for me tonight. I'm talking about being in the right position. Right now, who do you see in the middle? You see Corey, right? You see the boy's supposed to be Jesus right there in the middle, right? But who do you not see right now? You don't see that colt. But hallelujah, guess what? While Jesus is coming through town, hey, Jesus is coming through. We can't see that little colt. But that little colt has got God on him and is taking somebody, hallelujah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, girls, that's good, but stay there. Stay there. Now watch this. You know what everybody wants to do in our day, girls? Give me a little opening right here. You okay down there, Mr. Colt? All right. Turn around and look it this way, preacher. Tell everybody right now, say, hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how great I am. You'll never have God on you like that. As soon as you start acting like that, God will get off of you. And he'll go find somebody else to get on. Stay with me now. That's exactly what he'll do. You know why? Because he's trying to make a name for himself now. Because he's trying to be something himself now. And God will never use that. Can I tell you when God will use you? God will use you when you get out of the way. And it's not about you. And it's not about yourself. But hallelujah, it's all about him. I say tonight we ought to make much, much of him. Amen. Honey, I didn't save you. I ain't going to get you to heaven. It's not about me, it's all about him. Get back over there on the table. Get down there, Colt. Hey, girls, right now when y'all amen and hallelujah and all that y'all's doing, y'all not praising the Colt, are you? Y'all worshiping Jesus. Now, you're glad the Colt brought Jesus to you. You say, your mom, daddy say, family say, go to church. Did your mom, daddy carry your church and you got saved? Do you remember when you got saved? I'm asking too quick now. Yeah, you did. No, it's this brown. Uh-oh. Hallelujah. It's brown. All right, now watch. Watch now. Now watch what I'm getting ready to tell you. There was a day somebody got God on them, took this little girl to church. Hey, all right, all y'all, just go back to your seat. By the way, y'all have done good, and I'll give you some of the love offering. I'll give you the uh-uhs, okay? Hey, man, all right, now watch. Y'all going back. Thank you, Colt. Thank you. Corey, you're a great man. I love you, buddy. Thank you, sir. Thank you for helping me out. You're the best Jesus I've had in a while. Amen. Hey, I want you to watch this. Brother David, more than anything else in your youngins' lives, understand this tonight, Brother Tommy. Understand this, Miss Mine, them little grandbabies, whoever they are. More than, oh, Lord God, I'm a feeling such a heaven now. More than anything else in their life, more than a job, more than money, more than cars, more than anything else, I'll tell you what your youngins need. I'll tell you what your family needs. They need you to get a hold of God. They need you in the right place. They need you with the right perimeters, and they need you in the right position. So hallelujah, one day when they need God, you'll have enough God on you that they can come by where you're at and get some help. Every now and then I like to get around men like him, do this. Just say, what are you doing, Brother Hazel? Trying to get some up to rub off on me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I remember laying on a grave of B.R. Lakin years ago in my life on a snowy November afternoon. I was a young preacher, and I went up to Lynchburg before it got corrupt, and I was laying on that grave, and while I was laying on that grave, I prayed, oh God, I don't know what B.R. Lakin had. I don't know what he had in his life, but God, I prayed, give me a dose of whatever he had. God, I want that touch in my life. Several years ago, down close to Greensboro, North Carolina, is a place called Sandy Creek Baptist Church. If you know Baptist history, it's the origination of every Baptist church in the South. Sandy Creek Baptist Church, pastored by a man by the name of Shubal Stearns. Shubal Stearns was out of the ministry of George Whitfield up in New England. And George Whitfield said that there'll never be nothing good come to North Carolina. But Shubal Stearns said, I've got to go. And he came down and they started the little Sandy Creek Baptist Church. The old building is still there. I've actually went in there before and preached to my teenagers in that little pulpit that's still there from years gone by, when the wagons used to come in. But listen, there's a monument, preacher. You'll like this. It's out in the graveyard. Shubal Stearns is buried in the middle of the graveyard, and then there's a monument on the left side. Here's what that monument says. It says, the mother, yay, the grandmother, yay, the great-grandmother of all Baptist churches. Hey, you know what, friend? There's a trail of blood for you and I, of people that had a touch of God that died for what you and I have tonight. I took a bunch of teenage boys out with me one time, and we pulled in the parking lot. We was going to go down and pray over that grave of Shubal Stearns. I was asking God to give that touch of God to some of my boys. Hey, we got there and opened the van door, and I thought one of my boys was cutting up. That made me mad. I thought, I done brought you up here, and you done got to cutting up in the van. And I looked back there getting ready to jump on him, and he done put one foot down on that ground where Shubal Stearns was buried, and he done got to going, ooh, oh, hallelujah. He said, preacher, I don't know what it is, but he said, preacher, I want some of that. Honey, we gotta have the touch of God. There's a lot of fancy preachers and fancy outlines in pulpits. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. There's a whole lot of padded pews and chandeliers and beautiful buildings. But I tell you what, I'd rather have an old place down by the stump, down by the creek, where there's a good old-fashioned touch of the Holy Ghost, where God's at and the power of God is real. Don't ask you a question tonight. And her last name was this. You remember I started the message off. Wonder tonight, could you be an Amanda Driver, a 16-year-old girl, going across the parking lot, somebody walk up to you, Brother Tommy, and say, hey, sir, man, my life's a mess. Sir, I really need some help. You know what changed my life, preachers? I quit. This is in Kingsport, Tennessee, a lot of years ago. It was a youth conference. I was with Brother Harrison. He was doing the conference. I was just helping him. I was on the platform doing the platform work for him. Was in a public school. Some of y'all have heard this if you've heard the message of Another Generation. While I was up on the platform, the altar filled up with kids getting help, folks getting saved, coming out of the bleachers, and God just moving. I was sitting on the platform, and everybody was dealing with somebody.
While I was sitting on that platform, there came a little 14-year-old girl off the right side. She changed my life that day, 14 years old. She come off of those bleachers that day. She walked down to me. She was crying profusely. I mean, buddy, she wasn't crying. She was weeping. She came down and she knelt at the altar, and I looked around. I was helping David on the platform. There was nobody to help her. I walked over to where she was. I leaned down to where she was. My wife will tell you, I've used this across America. I leaned down to where she was. I said, "Sweetheart, can I help you?" She looked up at me and said words to me that made my stomach drop. She looked at me and she said, "Sir," she didn't know to call me preacher or nothing else. She said, "Nobody loves me." She said, "Nobody loves me." She said, "Sir, my boyfriend just broke up with me," and I realized 14 years old is the last thing she needs, but she didn't know that. And she said, "My boyfriend just broke up with me," and she said, "My mom and dad are getting a divorce." She said, "Sir, I believe it's my fault." And then Brother Mike, here's what she said. She said, "Sir, I'd just rather die." She said, "I don't even have a reason to live." She's 14 years old. I got down beside of her. By that time, I was crying much as she was. And I said, "Sweetheart, I can't promise you about your boyfriend. I can't tell you mom and dad's going to get together. But I can tell you there is somebody that loves you." I had the opportunity to take my Bible and show that little 14-year-old girl how to be saved. I never saw her since. I don't really know what happened to her life. But I know that day God taught me one thing. You better always have a touch on your life, because you never know who's going to need you that day. You better get God on you. How many young people in this building tonight go to public school? Raise your hand. Any kids go to public school? That's a lot of you tonight. I got a lot of kids in my church go to public school, a lot of them. Some of my best teenagers, my most faithful kids, are in public school. And I wish they didn't have to be. What a war zone. And our area is getting worse and worse. Won't you listen tonight? You got to get God on you, man. Can I share one other thing before I get done? We got a little girl in our church. And sometimes, you know, she's up and down spiritually. Sometimes she's great, sometimes not. But it was a while back, she was in a classroom. I believe I'm right, Danielle, if I'm right. And I'll tell you what, I'll just take you to another young man. I can't exactly remember this story. I'll take a young man by the name of Dusty. Got several of them's happened. Dusty got saved in that meeting of those 30 kids that got saved out of that 40. He was in a public school in Yakinville, North Carolina. In that public school, there was a boy that wore complete black. I think you young people would call it gothic look. The black fingernails, the black coat. They got where they don't allow some of that anymore because of Columbine, but the black Drake coat and the black everything, black hair pulled down over his eyes, just walking on the dark side. After Dusty got saved, God called him to preach, dealt with his life. Dusty would go to school and he'd take his Bible to school on top of his books, and every day he'd go to school and he'd pray and read his Bible. Now, AJ back there, he's a little fella. Dusty's about the size of AJ, just kind of a small guy, and, you know, just not real big. And so, you know, he gets scared of things sometimes if somebody bigger or mean would approach him. I'm not saying AJ's like it. I'm sure he's Rambo, but I'm talking about somebody else. But anyway, Dusty was at school one day, that boy in full black, never spoke to many people. People were intimidated by him. He was sitting in class one day, preacher. Dusty hadn't been saved long, reading his Bible, really on fire for God, just like Amanda was. He said, that boy come walking over to him. Nobody, he never even spoke to him. Full black, head tucked down, hair hanging in his face. He walked over to Dusty, sitting at the desk. Dusty looked up and saw who he was. You know, he didn't know if he was going to pull a gun. He didn't know what he was going to do. He looked down at him. He said, "I see you bring that Bible to school every day." And Dusty said, "Yeah." He said, "I got saved. Now the preacher wants us to read it." A fellow looked at Dusty, and here's what he said. He said, "My mom was sick. He said, my mama's sick. He said, you believe what that says? Dusty said, yeah. He said, would you pray for my mama? Dusty came back to me. He's in tears when he met me in a youth meeting one time. He said, preacher, why did he do that? I said, Dusty, because you had something on you that he didn't have. Young people, can I tell you something? Like every kid you see smiling and talking about pardoning it up and living it down, and they're smiling, they're the most popular, and you think they got everything in the world. Can I tell you something? They're the ones that go to bed at night and wish to God somebody cared and wish somebody loved them and wish they had some peace in their life. Don't you believe for a minute you've got the bad life. Your life's not the bad life. Oh, to lay my head down at night and to know everything's all right between me and God. Oh, the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You still work in a beauty shop, I assume. I grew up around one. My mom has done that. She's 83 and still fixes hair when she can stand up. And boy, I tell you, if every place needs God, it's a beauty shop. Amen. Full of women and their stories. Amen. Need God. How you know, preacher? I grew up around it. That's how I know. Now hers is God. I'm talking about ours. No, listen to what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter whether it's military for the years you was our dear brother, or where you work or who you're around. You better have God on you. We had two ladies get saved the last night of our Jubilee, Brother Michael. Those two ladies that came up, that black lady and her daughter, you know how they got saved? There's two ladies in the office that work with him, that had enough God on them that they wanted what she had, so they came to see what they were in, and they got saved. When they got back to work the next day, they got an email from those ladies that got saved, and here's what it said. Thank you for caring about us, and thank you for having something different in your life that made me want to be different. What a joy that was. Those ladies have come several times saved by the grace of God. Wonderful. Now listen to me tonight. Understand what I'm saying. We tonight need to get God on us. We must have God on us. Now I want you to stand with me tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you have God on your life like you need to have God on your life? In this revival meeting this week, has God touched you? Has God moved in your heart? Has God got a hold of you tonight in a way that you can say tonight that I want God on me? How about it, Pastor? How about it, you, Pastor? How about it, Sunday school teacher or young person? Why don't you get on your face tonight and say, God, I want your touch in my life. I want your power in my life. God, I want your anointing in my life. God, I want your touch. If somebody comes by my life, I want them to see Jesus in me, and I want to make a difference in their life. Want to make a difference. Friend, we have got to have the touch of God. That's right. Just keep on coming. Find your spot tonight. Why don't you right now, some of you young ladies, ask God to give you a mantle, one of them old shouting grandmas. God to put that mantle on you. One of you young men tonight, won't you ask God to give you that mantle, some old-time warrior God that stood faithful with a touch of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Preacher, these young people that came tonight, Brother Michael, you could tell them kids had got home tonight. That's when God let me know I was preaching the right thing. I could see God in them youngins, man. I like that. Preacher, I applaud you, son, for loving them kids, man. Good to see some youngins with God on them. I applaud you, buddy. Yeah, I can tell you're making a difference. Those two precious ladies I was telling you about, they got saved the other night. They've been back several times. Boy, every time they come back, they thank them ladies they work with for having God on them. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's a teenager who got some lost friends at school. And you know you got to have God on you to make a difference in their life. Brother Jimmy, we better have God on us in the pulpit. It's going to take more than our fancy sermons and outlines and illustrations. Sister, I was picking we tonight, but think about how many ladies who come in there and get their hair fixed don't know God. Well, I mean, my mama many times talking about church services, what Jesus was doing in church. Them ladies couldn't go nowhere. They paid money, had to get their hair fixed. My mama was witness to them, telling about church, got to go hear my son preach. Brother Red, that's one thing I like about your wife. I like being around people who's got a touch on them. I know Brother Red's got a touch on him, but I like being around that lady. Told my wife, I said, don't you meet her. She's got a touch on her. Got a touch on her. Amen. Preacher, don't you like getting around folk just got that touch? Every one of you folks in Morningstar, you are to thank God that you've got a man of God got a touch on him. He'll talk to you about other stuff, but he don't get near excited about other stuff as he does about Jesus. Hallelujah. How to get God on you. Be in the right place. Have the right perimeters. And be in the right position. It's not about us. You pray for me, Brother Michael. I don't care how much God uses me across the country. I don't ever want it to be about me. If it's about me, I pray God to shut me up and make me get a job somewhere and go to work again. I do not want it to be about me. It has to be about Him. Amen. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to come. I've enjoyed it. Appreciate the good Spirit of God this week, every night. I want to tell you something, folks. You cherish what God's doing around here. You got something special. It's a joy for me to leave my pulpit of folks that's amen and shouting, praising God, and come to a place where I don't have to drop off one lick. Feel right at home at Morningstar. Right at home over there with Brother Jackie and his folks. Feel right at home. I can tell you, Brother Michael, I bet you get down that way, they shouting around, enjoying the Lord. Keep God's touch on me. Remember what I told you, brother. It don't matter what you do. Have a touch of God. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to go change, buddy. I'm soaking wet. God bless you.
Well, praise His name. He's worthy of all the praise and the glory and the honor we could ever bestow upon Him. We don't have enough words. There's not enough words. That old song that says, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to tell." Boy, we ought to be telling it everywhere we go.